Quarter Podcast. Join the Mark Order.
It's Sunday ish.
Saturday.
It's Saturday now, but at the time people are going to be watching this, it might be Sunday. So, Saturday day, you know what that means. It's a pay-per-view weekend for AEW, the first ever AEW Dynasty. We're here with your predictions. Happy to talk to you guys about AEW Dynasty, bro. Some good stuff on this card. Looking like, after what I feel like was a very successful Revolution build, coming back to Dynasty kind of quickly after, still looking at an all-timer of a card here. So very excited to run it down with the fellas. We've got Ryan. We've got Asian Joe. We're going to start with Asian Joe because I'm in New York and he's got a Knicks shirt on. So, well, I'm in Jersey technically, but I'm
there. Yeah. Let's.
I lived in New York for years. I was a Knicks fan for, gosh, like 4 days a year when they made the playoffs when I lived in the city.
Sorry to just delay your introduction, Joe, but Kate, have you ever seen Community?
Some of it.
You remember Britta?
Yes.
Her one line was, I lived in New York.
Yeah, that's basically me when it comes to basketball or hockey when it's convenient. And I could be a Knicks or a Nets fan at any given time. But Joe, sporting the blue and orange, how you doing over there?
Oh, I'm good. Just slowly recovering from the Philadelphia illness.
Yeah, you weren't in Philly, which makes it impressive almost that I was just able to transmit it to you either via these streams or text message or however. I'm a very powerful woman, so I'm just built different, I guess. But I'm glad you're feeling a little bit better. Ryan and I covered Wednesday while you decided to be sick like a coward. But I've never missed a single episode of the Mark Order, so it was really disappointing.
You wouldn't know what that's about.
No, certainly not. And because of illness, I've never been sick in my life with COVID-like symptoms especially. But Ryan, how you doing since Wednesday? How you feeling about this card going into the pay-per-view? I'm excited for this one.
I feel fine. I got over my Philly illness quicker, but I guess it's because I have somewhat immunity.
Yeah.
I'm good. I'm very excited for the card. It looks stacked.
It does look stacked. I'm pumped for this one. So at the time of recording, this is before we've seen Rampage and before we've seen Collision as well. So if there are updates to the card, which there might be, because this is I don't want to say a slimmer card, because I think AEW kind of got a bad rap from the one like 5-hour pay-per-view they did. This is a clean card. It's very title focused with a couple extra matches and your 0 hour. So they might throw some stuff in tonight. We will find out. But as far as our predictions go, we're going to run down what we have so far. Looking very forward to this one. On our 0 hour, we've got Adam Copeland, Eddie Kingston, and Mark Briscoe versus the House of Black. I'm going to kick it over to Joe. This one's a fun one because it could go either way. Let's start with Joe's thoughts, though.
Yeah, this was one of the tougher ones I had when I go through the list. I think I went with House of Black just because maybe how they closed after, what was it, Dynamite? That I think they were kind of left scurrying. So that's my only reason of why the House of Black would win this, and I feel like they need a win. So
I agree with you. I'll weigh in with my two cents here. I'm also going to go with House of Black. I think Eddie Kingston and Mark Briscoe might have a little bit of can they coexist in this, or a little bit of a fallout. Mark winning the title from Eddie Kingston at Ring of Honor, and Eddie Kingston on his way to kind of losing all three and what I think is going to be an inevitable heel turn. So I'm going to say that there's seeds of dissension in this that put House of Black over. But Ryan, where do you sit on this 0 hour card? Joe and I lined up, but this one really does feel like it could go either way. They might want to kick off the 0 hour with making people feel good.
Yeah. I mean, it would feel weird to not have House of Black win this one. They're the established team by a lot, not even because you're talking like the other group isn't even like established best friends. Like it should be House of Black.
Yeah, this one is thrown together, and I do think you're going to see your ROH and AEW Trios Tag Team Championships go to Bullet Club Gold. I think setting up House of Black versus Bullet Club Gold would be a very, very fun way to get us kicked off. And what's hopefully a refreshed era of this Trios division, because, buddy, it is not looking good. But let's talk about that Trios match. I already kind of gave my prediction here, but I think this has got to go Bullet Club Gold. Acclaimed has been dead in the water for a little bit, certainly with this Trios run. If I can't name a title defense outside of TMDK, that's bad for you, because I'm going to remember everything that is TMDK related. I can't really think of anything else, certainly nothing from a work rate perspective that has caught my eye. Let's think of something fresh and new for the Acclaimed. Let's get some gold on Jay White, for the love of God, please. Let's make the Trios division feel important again with this. I'm going to kick it over to Ryan. What do you think comes out of our ROH and AEW Trios Tag Championship match? Holy hell, have they dragged out this story so long. Let's wrap it up.
If it isn't the gangbang gang, I'll be extremely disappointed, and it would make no logical sense, and I would hate it very, very much. So just because of that, I'm going with, you know, Bullet Club Gold. Sure. Because if the Acclaimed win, I will have seen minutes of my life just be wasted.
Yeah. Minutes, probably hours at this point with how long this story has gone on, but Joe, are you in the same boat here? I feel like this might be the healthier thing for both teams involved. I think the Acclaimed could use the refresh. What are your thoughts on this one?
Two words. Guns up.
That's what's up.
I think there's more upside with Bullet Club Gold winning. I think we've kind of waxed poetic multiple weeks on here about how we're ready for something different from the Acclaimed, and kind of getting away from their six-man daddy ass and the Acclaimed gimmick, and, you know, either split them up or change their personas a little bit more. I think getting gold on Jay White, like you said, would be critical to really elevate him more and make him feel more important, and hopefully get him onto a singles run here. And, you know, I didn't think I would ever say that the Gun Club could, you know, had a higher ceiling right now than the Acclaimed, but as a team, they might.
Sure. Agreed. Agreed wholeheartedly. I'm looking forward to that. I hope it's a symptom of new things to come for that Trios division. We'll move along to our international championship match. Roderick Strong versus Kyle O'Reilly. You know what? I'm going to vote with my heart here. I know it's probably going to Roddy Strong, but my heart says Kyle O'Reilly. I'm a KOR stan. Not mad about either result. We talked about this on Wednesday a little bit, Joe. I feel like this has a possibility to be a like show-stealing match. I think this one on a card that has Pac and Okada and Ospreay and Danielson and Swerve and Joe, like this one's kind of cooking in the background a little bit, but what these two are going to do in the ring is going to be so different than anything else on the card. I'm going to go with KOR because I am a foolish optimist and I love Kyle O'Reilly so much. Not the craziest upset in the world, but I think Roddy, if I was thinking with my head, would retain. Joe, what do you think?
I'm going to go with my head, my brain, and go with Roddy. I agree with you that I think this match will be great just because of, you know, the relationship those two have and how well they know each other and how well they work together. But I don't think it's going to be the end of their facing one another. I think this is kind of the first stanza of what to come. I hope we can get Adam Cole involved here somehow, even if he just shows up and could do commentary or something.
Sure. It would be nice to see him at the pay-per-view. I know there were reports that they were pulling him off the road so he could heal up a little bit easier. He still sounds like, unfortunately, a ways off, but so is MJF. So the inevitable thing to line up is still months away anyway. But Ryan, what are your thoughts on our international championship match here? I wouldn't be stunned if KOR took it, but I think most people are in the Roddy camp, but I'm going with KOR.
Real quick, did I zone out? Did we miss two zero-hour matches?
Not at the card that I'm looking at, but mine also might not be the most up-to-date.
We have Trent Bretter versus Matt Sydal.
Okay, give us your thoughts on the international championship match, and then we'll go back to this. Okay.
I mean, I think it's Roderick Strong. I don't think they're ready to end the Undisputed Kingdom yet. So I think they cheat and screw O'Reilly out of it. But like Joe says, this isn't the end. This is when Kyle O'Reilly like levels up to fight his opponent, if we're talking like anime.
Fair enough. Fair enough. I think that you're right that there might be a bigger story here. And I look forward to, but Ryan, why don't you give us those pre-show matches and we'll go around the home the rest of the way.
We have Trent versus Matt Sydal. This feels like a throw-in just to continue to build Trent's heel. Obviously, I see Trent winning. I will go to Joe first. Joe, what do you think?
I think we all are going to say Trent, because I don't know the last time Matt Sydal had won a match.
Probably in Ring of Honor like 6 months ago, but I'm going to go with Matt Sydal. No, I'm just kidding. This one's obviously for Trent. Build up that heel turn. I do think that'll be a better match, too, than people are giving for. I love the 0 hour for that, because some of it is like, we know who's going to win, but you get really great work rate, and I think Matt Sydal does really good work. And Trent is fantastic. So
then in our first, actually, before I get to the other match, rub it in some more, SJ, that your team is in the NHL playoffs, and my team lost basically the last 8 games of the season to miss it. Yeah, just rub it in, SJ. Just rub it in. I'm not bitter at all.
This is a wrestling prediction show. Let's focus, Ryan.
No, we focus. Never focus.
Give us the other match.
We have Orange Cassidy and Shibata versus Shane Taylor Promotions, which is Shane Taylor and Lee Moriarty. I don't actually know on this one, because in theory, looking at it, you would think Orange Cassidy and Shibata are the bigger names. They should win. But that Trent guy is on the card, which makes me think, and you have, you know, a go-go sitting out there, and maybe Shane Taylor Promotions. Maybe we see a new addition. I don't think so, but that would be cool. Kate, I'll go to you first. What do you think?
I'm going to go with Shane Taylor Promotions just because Orange Cassidy won on Wednesday. And I do think there's some interesting possibilities that could happen with Shane Taylor Promotions. As far as, I think the goal of this is to make a go-go feel like a real threat. So like maybe Rocky Romero comes out and gets punched by a go-go or whatever. Like I think there is possibilities for some shenanigans here to give STP the one up, and then you can have a third match down the line or whatever, probably a trios match or something there. So I'm going to go with Shane Taylor Promotions. If you wanted to give Orange Cassidy and Shibata a win just to make people feel good, would not be mad about it though.
Cool.
Well, whenever you see STP, I think of Stone Temple Pilots, so thank you. Yes. I'm going with Shane Taylor Promotions. I think Orange takes the pin. And I think it's because, you know, the last few weeks they really started to build up and push Shane Taylor Promotions by getting more screen time, adding a go-go. So I think they're really setting up something bigger for them.
I kind of hope so, too, because we were just talking about rebuilding that trios division, right? Like STP feeling like a real threat in the trios division would be so cool, especially since we're merging those belts now, having someone that had such a big Ring of Honor presence and very easily could walk into AEW and do some real work. STP versus Bullet Club Gold, give me that all day. I'll take back over hosting role now since Ryan supplemented us with those additional matches, but we'll move on to our TBS championship match. I'm going to start with Ryan since I relinquished control and took it back. Only seems fair. Julia versus Willow. This one, I think we kind of know now, especially where it's going based on injury news. But
yeah, I mean, I think even without injury news, this is Willow's time. Willow's in a, don't get me wrong, Julia Hart's a big player, has some awesome stories going, but I think Willow's the bigger one. When your story revolves around Mercedes, I kind of feel like you should have the title to go into that. So, yeah, I'm going Willow.
Yeah, Joe, what are your thoughts? Are you in alignment with Ryan on that?
I am, mainly just because of the injury and some of that stuff for Julia. If it wasn't for that, I've kind of torn. I would have been more torn because I think, yes, the story is there for Willow and Mercedes, but I was kind of thinking maybe they could have done the stat Willow angle eventually.
Sure.
If Julia was healthy, and then and Mercedes and Julia would have been a big draw for their card, and then you could have the Willow Mercedes match later on. But yeah, for this time it's Willow.
Yeah, I think the Julia injury all but sealed it. I was probably going with Willow too, but I do think there's some very interesting possibilities with Chris Statlander. I think it's very possible that she was the one to take out Mercedes this past week as well. So all in alignment on it being Willow's time. Very happy for Willow. This is beyond earned for her. So very excited to see them. We'll move on to our tag team championship ladder match, the Young Bucks versus FTR. This is another one that could go either way, but I'll kick it to Joe first. What are your thoughts on this?
I'm going with EVPs.
Okay. Any particular reason or just gut instinct?
They're down 2-1. I feel like they need to even up the series with FTR and, you know, with them and their characters. I think giving them the titles would just make them feel more like a-holes, and Okada has gold, so they all have to have belts, right?
I partly agree with you. I think they're actually even. I think, or is it FTR is up 2-1? Is that the score here?
I thought FTR was up 2-1.
That's very possible. I also, just knowing the, I'm going to agree with you. I think this is the EVPs. I think you want them and Okada to have the title, but hearing that Motor City Machine Guns is coming into the company as well, I think them coming in might be a surprise that you have on the card. And I think what you're setting up is Motor City Machine Gun versus the Young Bucks. Like, I feel like that story is writes itself, and that Motor City Machine Guns doesn't get a ton of credit for a lot of the new age tag wrestling that they've brought to the forefront, that the Young Bucks have popularized beyond whatever they did. And I think just the idea of like new guys showing up to EVPs that just won the tag title is the story. But I think that being a ladder match is interesting. I've said kind of time and time again, I wish that they used the tournament to showcase other teams. I feel like it's kind of a waste of a tournament. You could have gotten to Young Bucks and FTR so easily. But Ryan, we got our tag team ladder match. Any thoughts on the Young Bucks and FTR here? And do you think Motor City Machine Gun shows up tonight, or is that down the line?
I think they're down the line, but I do think tomorrow night we see some shenanigans. Oh, you mean tonight is in Collision?
No, I'm sorry. At the pay-per-view. My brain.
I think Young Bucks win via shenanigans. I don't know the level of shenanigans yet. I'm going to see how many times I can say shenanigans, but I think they win with shenanigans. There is talk that, you know, the scapegoat, Jack Perry, comes back and he instigates the shenanigans, maybe pushes over a ladder shenanigans wise. But I think via shenanigans, it's the Young Bucks. Maybe to put shenanigans on shenanigans, you have Motor City Machine Guns walk out at the end. Sure. I think they're, you know, the Young Bucks are on Dynamite celebrating and having celebration shenanigans. And then you hear the Motor City Machine Guns music come out, and that's more shenanigans on shenanigans.
No, I don't even know who you ended up choosing to win. No, I'm just kidding.
Youngest of Bucks. You'll be hunting.
I will be. I love Big Buck Hunter. That game ruled when I was in college. I was very good at it in a lot of shitty New Jersey bars, but we will move on to a match that was not even on anybody's radar a couple months ago. Okada versus Pac for the Continental Championship title. Pac was, of course, sidelined with medical issues for a long time. Okada wasn't in the company up until a couple months ago. This is a dream match that kind of materialized out of thin air. I think Okada retains, but I think this has a chance to be match of the night in ring-wise. I think a lot of people are like, that's going to rule. And I don't know if they've realized how much it's going to rule in their brains. But Joe, who do you think takes the W here?
I have Okada. And yes, it's going to rule. It was the second behind Ospreay and Bryan. This is the match I'm looking forward to most. So
yes,
I have no delusion that it won't deliver.
Yeah, I think you're right. I think this is going to be a banger for sure. But Ryan, what are your thoughts on Okada Pac? Who do you think retains? And do you think this will be the best in-ring of the night? Or are you still looking at Ospreay and Danielson going best of all time versus best of right now?
So I want to say that the winner of this match is us. We, the fans.
It's true. It's the fans.
I have Okada winning. I just think the guy with the belt should win. I don't think Pac has had enough in this company where he can take this loss and no one's gonna be like, what the hell's going on? Like,
it makes he's sense. Also out of his mind, like, he's the bastard and he's delusional, so
losing like doesn't hurt. Yeah,
losing but, doesn't hurt him in that regard. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. For your second question, it's a tough call because can we hold the match of the night to the end so I can give sure. I have a full rundown on those thoughts. Okay.
Yeah, of course. Of course we can. Let's talk about our women's world championship match. My goodness. Toni Storm versus Thunder Rosa, two women who are very familiar with each other, who are on the same side at one point. I think there's possibilities this ends in Ryan's favorite word, shenanigans, based on the stuff that we saw with Deonna. I think Mariah May could come into play in a different way. I think maybe it's time for her character to evolve a little bit beyond Toni Storm cosplaying with the incredible work she's doing in the ring, with the incredible work that she's doing character-wise. I would not be surprised if this ended up being a four-pack down the line between all four of those ladies, or at least a triple threat with Deonna. Love that Deonna has still been around the story and around the top of the card. They've addressed the very consistent complaint that they bring in a woman who feels like a very big deal, and then all of a sudden they're gone. Very much like what we're getting in this women's division. I'm going to say Toni Storm retains. Whether it's clean or not is to be determined. But Ryan, let's kick it to you.
So,
excuse me.
I have Toni Storm retaining via hijinks. I think when you're doing a timeless, when you're back in the 20s, it's more of a hijinks than a shenanigans.
Fair.
So I think she wins via hijinks. There's probably many, you know, you have Mariah May coming out doing her hijinks, and then Deonna will come out to counter her hijinks with more hijinks. And Thunder Rosa is kind of hijinky anyway. Like, she does some weird stuff too. But I still think Toni Storm has the longer story, has more to go through, and her hijinks are just really hitting their crescendo. So we need more Toni Storm hijinks, less other hijinks, and I think Toni Storm wins via hijinks.
I will say that, in sincerity of your hijinks, one thing that we have seen is the character overtake Toni Storm's in-ring a little bit. There has not been a world championship defense that I've been like, that match fucking ruled with her. So I would like, between how hard Thunder Rosa hits and her ability to bring out the best in opponents, I'm hoping that we get a work rate match from Toni Storm that we haven't seen yet in this championship run. So assuming that there's going to be hijinks, I hope they don't overpower the rest of the match, because I would like to see like a Toni Storm pro wrestler match. The match with Deonna didn't have the blow-off feel that I was hoping for at Revolution. Tough spot in the card as well. But Joe, what do you think about our Thunder Rosa and Toni Storm match? And should we start placing bets on how many times Ryan is going to say hijinks, shenanigans, and other synonyms?
I was wondering when tomfoolery would come up and what
we
era
still got a little bit of the rest of the card to go, but yeah.
Tomfoolery.
I have Toni. I was a little torn initially just because I know they've been playing up the whole fact that Thunder hasn't been pinned or wasn't pinned to Lute's title. So I thought maybe that was the outlier of why she could win. But as we kind of mentioned here with the Deonna involvement with Thunder, I think that will be kind of a separate issue after this match. I don't know if they put Deonna back into a title match or a three-way title match after she lost. So that's why I thought maybe Toni retains this time around, and Thunder and Deonna would go off and have their own feud. But yeah, Thomas Toni, and then I don't know. I'm just waiting to see who will be the person to come in and take the belt off her. If it's going to be Mariah or if there's someone else.
You know, I want it to be Mariah. I've been of the belief it's probably not going to be her. But if they cared about the rankings, the fact that she's picking up wins and reps might be an indicator that that is the case. I think she's earned it. Like, she has hit every single note coming in here character-wise. She has hit every single note in the ring. She's fantastic. Like, very hard-hitting, very cool. I feel like we don't get a lot of blonde bombshells that have this work rate in them in this specific way. That's not to say that this archetype can't work, but not like Joshi type, which is pretty cool and special. And I think it's very cool that she has an alley that is kind of all her own on this. But guys, please leave a thumbs up on this video if you would be so kind. We are mowing through this card very quickly. It's kind of nice how clean this card feels, especially on the heels of Revolution. Also, subscribe to our YouTube channel if you haven't. We've got Collider casts most Saturdays, not tonight, but most Saturdays. And we also have our AEW Dynamite post show, the Mark Order Proper, on Wednesdays at 10:15 every Wednesday. We appreciate you checking this out. Let's go with Danielson versus Ospreay. I'm going to save what should probably be the main event proper for the main event here with Joe and Swerve. Let's talk Ospreay Danielson. I am very torn on this one because I feel like it could go either direction and there's really interesting creative paths for both. I'm going to say I'm going to go with Ospreay because I think Danielson losing yields a more interesting path. And I do think that's a huge deal for Ospreay to come in and beat Danielson, where Danielson winning, everyone goes, of course, that guy's the best in the world, right? But I think it would be more productive for Danielson to lose. I'm so happy we're getting this match on American television. I'm so happy Will Ospreay has been as great as he is every single week. I was at Best Buy earlier when I wasn't in my closet cleaning up after Raccoon Gate. I have an Orange Cassidy air freshener in my car. And two people that are AEW fans came over to talk to me. And the only thing they wanted to talk about was Dynasty and Will Ospreay. They were just so amazed by this guy. They weren't New Japan people. So him showing up, they didn't really understand what was the big deal. And they learned extremely fast. So there's all the talk of like needle mover shit or whatever. There's such value in a guy like Will Ospreay. I'm just going with him kind of at a gut instinct. We'll go to Ryan next, but I feel like this one could go either way. I almost don't give a shit who wins or loses this one because this is another one that we, the fans, are the real winners. I don't think there will be very much tomfoolery involved, but
I disagree.
This feels like such a puristy type match.
99% of this match will be tomfoolery. Tomfoolery lists or no tomfoolery involved.
That's what I'm saying. Like tomfoolery. Yeah,
but the 1% where there is tomfoolery is the ending.
You think it's Callis family related?
I think Callis family tries to help Will Ospreay, and Will Ospreay ends up losing because of the Callis family.
Oh, interesting. Okay. Respect that take. It sounds mostly free from Tom and his foolery, which makes me happy. But I understand where you're going with that. For dream matches like this, I prefer as clean as possible. But Joe, who do you think wins? And do you think there is tomfoolery or any other synonym for such a word that might come into play here?
I do not believe there's going to be any foolery of Tom.
Okay.
Or hijinks or shenanigans or malarkey.
Malarkey.
I have Ospreay, and I think it's, to your point, it means a lot more to get him this win. He's obviously been on a streak so far, and beating Danielson is kind of a passing of a torch type of thing, of that monster being the best, or sure, being the greatest of all time right now. And I think it'll be a clean win, and I think he can, and Danielson doesn't need wins or losses right now. He's on his greatest farewell tour ever of just, you know, playing the hits and having dream matches regardless of outcomes.
Sure.
I think maybe if anything, we get the Callis family maybe at the end celebrating with Ospreay. Okay. And that's when shenanigans are afoot.
That's fair. That's very fair. How many times do you think we hear the word bruv?
Do I have an over under? Is there a...
Let's say 5.
Ooh, I'll go under.
Okay. Ryan, under or over on bruv count?
I'm going under because I don't expect Ospreay to say much.
Okay. Okay. I'm just thinking commentary, crowd. I'm going to stay the line. I think it's going to be exactly 5. That includes how many times I say it in my living room, though, so I can manipulate the results pretty easily. Guys, leave a thumbs up on this video as we're coming down the home stretch to our world championship match. We got Samoa Joe versus Swerve Strickland. I thought this was a more unpredictable card, but we've all been in alignment pretty much this whole time. This one I feel like is probably the most obvious one on the card because it is not more time for any wrestler in the world right now than it is for Swerve Strickland, I don't think. They were chanting "Whose House" at a pre-tape on Wednesday. That's how over this guy is. I was of the belief he should have got over in the triple threat. I still kind of wish they did, but I'm glad that his white hot momentum has kind of sustained through this. I absolutely have loved this Joe run. There's never a wrong time to have that belt on this guy. There's not really a wrong time to take it off of him because he's so incredibly valuable. His promo about how being kicked down and getting back up, it doesn't actually make you a future champ. It makes you a punching bag. Sent me on Wednesday. I mentioned it a very long time on Wednesday. I'm mentioning it here again because, my God, what incredible heel work to be doing. Of like, hey, man, the most heroic trait in the world actually makes you kind of a little bitch. Absolutely sent me. Ryan, what do you think?
I think this match will have a level of barbarity that will surprise us. The okay. barbarity will be high, but it'll be different kinds of barbarity. Like Joe's view version of barbarity is just how hard he hits and how the kind of submissions he throws in. There's just such a he's so barbarous with that barbarity. Swerve's version of barbarity is actually more like violence. He uses things, he doesn't mind cutting some corners with chains and things, and he'll have the ref look the other way. So his barbarity will be.
What do men's haircuts have to do with any of this? I'm so confused. Like, is this a barbershop brawl or?
Didn't I say he cuts corners? Barbarity?
I'm just saying, like, is somebody going through a barbershop window? That's all I want to know. That's all I want to know.
Do you guys not know what barbarity means?
No, I'm being silly.
I do. But you said barbarous. So I thought I also.
That's also a word, too.
I was being silly.
So am I. I'm doing my own thing.
Ugh. We're almost too committed to the bit.
Dates with a paper.
Right. Are you going to say who you think is going to win at any point in this rambling speech?
Yes, I was going to say that Swerve's barbarity will beat Joe's barbarity.
At no point in your brand. What is the Billy Madison and your rambling incoherent speech?
We're all dumber for having those.
We're all dumber.
I award you no points.
I award you no points and may God have mercy on your soul. Appropriate since I'm glowing like an angel with my makeshift background here. But Joe, for the love of God, please don't use the word barbarity and just tell me who you think is gonna win this match and how.
It's gonna be Swerve. If it's not Swerve, then take all booking rights from TK away from him as soon as possible because you'd be doing a disservice if it's not Swerve. The guy's been red hot for months now. The time is right, especially after that closing segment on Dynamite there. I watched that back and taking you to stomp on the whole security guards and landing on your feet still. I mean, come on.
It's safe.
Barbarous.
Like a cat barber, as I always say. I've always said that. But whose house is it, though, Joe?
Someone named Barber?
I was going to say Swerve's. Okay. You could argue it's also Soraya's, but yeah, I think we're all in agreement here. It's Swerve's time. It's never been someone's time more than it's Swerve's time. Very excited for what this new championship era has been. Also find it very refreshing that we've had a title reign that's been like a few months, right? Like we've gotten into this habit across all of wrestling, but especially at AEW where like Kenny's was a year, MJF's was really long. Like I'm very excited. And even the short ones, right? Were like because CM Punk hurt himself or had a nutty. So very excited that we've had like a creatively consistent, short and effective run. I really like a lot of the work Joe did. The triple threat was great. His match with Hook was awesome. Like, I think it's been very productive. And it's nice to see a return of not like a hot potato title reign, but nice to see something a little bit shorter in here a lot. So very, very happy about that. Before we round out our prediction show, which is by far like the quickest we've ever gotten through anything on this podcast, but I do want to talk about some booking possibilities that are not related directly to the card of any surprises that you think may come up, any debuts. Motor City Machine Guns, I think, is certainly a possibility. I'm also wondering where Camille is. I think last I heard she was in talks with AEW. Hadn't heard anything about pen to paper, but hadn't heard that she re-engaged WWE either. Her showing up could be a whole heck of a lot of fun. Her equalizing Chris Statlander could be very fun. I think there's a lot of possibilities out there. I don't think any other free agents show up here. I don't even think Camille does. I think it's probably just Motor City Machine Guns. They've been on a free agent spree with Ospreay and Mercedes and Okada. I think you're probably not going to get a ton. I don't even know if there's anybody of that sway available, to be honest, that you'd have them debut at a pay-per-view here. Any other injury returns that we're not thinking about? I don't know if Jamie Hayter is ready. I feel like if she is, you just bring her back at All In at this point. But we'll go to Joe. Anything that we're not thinking of that might sneak its way onto this card?
I couldn't think of anything. Mostly Machine Guns makes sense just because of being in the Midwest and location-wise, but yeah, I can't think of any other injuries. I'm trying to think of other injuries that people have been out there close to returning. What state is that you're making, Ryan, with your hand?
Yeah, what state is this?
What state is it right?
Closer to whatever state you are making.
Oh, that's the whole Michigan thing.
Yeah, it's reverse Michigan on here, but yeah.
Yeah, I guess I would technically be. Whatever. That's their thing. Learn a hand gesture.
Yeah, your hand job.
I got one.
That was rude. I wouldn't even ask you this, but I'm so consistent with making sure that all three of us get our viewpoints in, as you know, as a host.
Are you?
Any superfluous surprises that we haven't considered showing up here?
Well, I told you, I think, in the shenanigans section that... No. Was it shenanigans? Yeah, it was the shenanigans section where I think Jack Perry makes his return.
He's Jack Perry is a good shout. Yeah, that's a...
He's part of the Young Bucks shenanigans. And also the TLD. I absolutely know what barbarous means, and I was using it correctly.
It's going to be very bulbous in that match. So I'm looking forward to so much of this card. This has a chance to be an all-timer. I think they need it, especially after the CM Punk footage weirdness. Let's just clear the slate and get back to what AEW does best. I'm looking very forward to this. Fellas, any closing thoughts? Anything else that you want to add in?
No, Joe, I'll go. I think I said I would hold my match the night thing. I think the match I'm most emotionally invested in is the championship match. I think the best overall in rank will be Ospreay versus Danielson. However, Okada and Pac will provide a close second and it'll be very different.
Yeah. I think there's a lot of that on this card. I think that with Roddy and Kyle too, there's so much stylistic diversity on this card that I think is going to be so wonderful in making the experience not only be great, but also fly by. I feel like when AEW has a card like this and there's such a buffet of wrestling styles, it really makes things zip along. This is our first card that doesn't have Chris Jericho on it, I think, ever.
Oh, we missed that match, didn't we?
Oh, damn it. Did I summon him? God damn it.
You missed Jericho versus Hook.
Because who could possibly fucking care?
Hook. I'm going Hook. Let's just end it there.
Yeah.
I'm going to see Jericho.
Oh, no.
I think that's...
The learning tree is going to suck him back in. The Jericho Vortex trademark is...
Yeah, you get that trademark if he wins the FCW belt.
Oh, gross.
Yeah.
And then Sammy Guevara is going to come back as his lapdog. Great. No.
Once you saw the FCW title on the line, I'm like, Jericho's going to win this.
Oh no, you're not wrong. I do think him leaning heel is probably for the best, but man, that will be so dumb, and I don't look forward to that. So also obviously absent from this card for injury reasons and not climbing Mount Everest is Darby Allin. He's had a hell of a run on pay-per-views since this company's inception. So couple heavy hitters notably absent, and of course MJF on the shelf, Adam Cole on the shelf. It's Kenny Omega on the shelf. Kenny coming back would be incredible. If Kenny comes back to face Okada in the ring, that'll be like an all-timer moment. I don't know where his health is right now, But when he's ready, that'll be very cool. But I think it's really incredible and speaks to the depth of the roster that you could have Adam Cole, MJF, and Kenny Omega out and still be putting on a card like this. So looking very forward to it. Do you have a match of the night in mind, Joe, or are you just hope everybody has a good time?
I think everyone will have a good time, but Ospreay Brian, I mean, that's what sold me on the card. I mean, after that, you could have put, you know, Jericho and Jeff Jarrett and Jay Lethal and all the other guys on the card, and I still would have bought the card. But otherwise, I think overall, like you said, like top and bottom, it's pretty predictable, I felt like, but the matches were really great. I think the AEW did a really good job with, especially the initial pay-per-views of new ones, of really loading more cards like this. I think Wrestle Dream was a really good card when they did that one.
Agreed.
So they really stacked cards for the debut pay-per-views.
Agreed. And I think you're going to get some really incredible moments with Swerve and Willow winning too. Like, there's some really awesome stuff from a sense of feel good new champions. If KOR wins, I think that'll be, I don't think he's gonna, I know I predicted he would, but I was voting with my heart there. That would also be an incredible feel-good moment, right? I don't think it's crazy to assume, I think we all think Toni Storm is going to win, but they could easily pull off a shock upset with Thunder Rosa. So a lot of possibilities, lots of possibilities that I think emerging with Willow and Swerve as champions almost certainly is your product's in a good place. Your product's in a good place. So some great stuff we expect for tomorrow. Thank you to everybody who watched live. Thank you to everybody who is watching on Sunday to this little prediction show that we have pulled together. We ask you to follow the Mark Order podcast at Mark Order Pod. Ryan is the one that runs that. So feel free to follow along. I'm sure one of us will be in there live tweeting or something over at Mark Order Podcast during this actual pay-per-view itself. So I'll let everybody else plug their stuff before we get out of here. But Ryan, outside of the Mark Order Podcast social media, where can people find you?
Normally they can find me here on Saturday nights for the Collider Cast, but some unavailability of members tonight, and actually truthfully Sixers being in the playoffs made it just not a great night. But then you can find me every Wednesday.
Like, you don't even take wrestling podcasting extremely seriously.
No, it's like I don't. And then
you don't grind hard enough.
Yeah, grind harder, Ryan.
Never grinds. Why did I make a good skateboarder? That, and I couldn't get on the skateboard to make it go forward without falling.
Why you can't get the ladies either? Can't grind.
I'm not gonna start singing.
I thought you were gonna keep going right here.
What is wrestling about if not bumping and grinding? But
every Wednesday you can find me on our podcast 10:15, and then you can follow my history blog hereforhistory.com at underscore here for history. And I just want to shout out that there's someone in the chat named Ryan Sully. Listen, if you keep throwing support, we'll be good. If you ever go against, there can only be one.
It's true. Yeah, there'll be a battle for Ryan Sullivan supremacy. should you guys not be able to coexist, but coexisting happily along with us is the Asian Joe. Joe, you've been sick this week. You're bouncing back. We've got this great card tomorrow. You're coming hot off of a sweet cereal blog post of AEW wrestlers as cereals that everybody should check out. But where can people find you? Where can people read this wonderful, delicious post?
Sure. So on social media at underscore Asian Joe. And then in my bios, there's a link to the cereal review blog where you can read about, you know, if 18 AEW wrestlers were cereals.
And why wouldn't you want to read that fantastic content? Check it out. Asian Joe always giving us the best of the best in cereal world and in wrestling world. We thank him so much. You can find me at Miss Kate Fabe on social media. You can find me at Fightful on Fightful Podcasts on Select on Mondays doing your Sour Graps Raw review. WWE's been real good, so everything is different and weird and changed. It's very uncomfortable, but mostly we play video games behind the paywall, and I make my co-host play as technical wrestlers that are my favorites. Tuesdays, Thursdays, and Fridays on the main channel doing your NXT Ring of Honor post-show and your SmackDown post-show. Wednesdays at the Mark Order Podcast whenever I can be, and sometimes we do a Collision post-show on Fightful Select as well. Check out the Collider Cast here most Saturdays, not today. And head over to Fightful Select for the Collision post show, and you'll get all of the Mark Order in one night at separate places. We are wild in that way. But have a safe and wonderful wrestling weekend. Enjoy AEW Dynasty. Order it through Triller. Maybe it will actually function as opposed to Bleacher Report. But thank you so much for joining, and enjoy the pay-per-view.
This concludes the Mark Order Podcast. We now return you to your regularly scheduled programming. Join the Mark.